ayah, Ketua Pak Tegut, Ketua Pak Ayah, Syekh Fawzan said, I explained maybe that, he said, ayat and bayinat, he said, it means clear proofs. It contains clear proofs that it is indeed from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم. Part of the ayah that it is preserved in the chests of those given knowledge. Shaykh Fawzan said, they preserve it. يحفظونه, they preserve and memorize it. In their chests, and they recite it. So it's being easily memorized and recited is a proof that it is from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. In other words, the people of knowledge, those who memorize the Quran, preserve it in their chests, they recite it. In fact, Allah makes it easy for them to recite the whole Quran, memorize the whole Quran. Is a proof that it is indeed from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And the Imam Qudama continues, وَقَالَ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He said, and he said, and he quotes two ayahs, ayah 77 and 78 from Surah Al-Waqi'a, the 56th surah, with the explanation, it is certainly an honorable Quran in a well-guarded book. Imam said, after having sworn an oath upon that, in the ayah which came before, and Shaykh Al-Fawzan will make clear the explanation. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, in his explanation, he the Most High said, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, same surah, 56th surah, ayahs 50, ayahs 75 and 76, the two previous ayahs to these two, with the explanation. So I swear by the places of the setting of the Nujum. So I swear by the places of the setting of the stars, and it is a great oath if you but knew. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said in explanation, he swore an oath, Qasam, he swore an oath by the places where the Nujum set. And then Shaykh Al-Fawzan goes on to explain that the scholars of explanation of the Qur'an, they differ about what is meant here in this ayah, by these waqi' and nujum, these places of setting, or places of falling, of the nujum, nujum fall of Najm. And as a side point here, just linguistically, just to actually talk to what's here, then the great scholar of the language, Ibn Faris, he mentions that as for this word, najama, or the verb, that it means in origin, rising and appearing. This word, which najam and nujum is taken from the verb, it means in Arabic language, the origin of the word means rising and appearing. So to give us some idea why the people of knowledge differ about what is meant by it. So in basis it means that which rises and that which appears. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he swore an oath by the places where the Nujum set. It is said that what is meant by the Nujum is the Nujum al-Samaa, the stars of the sky. This being the first and most commonly understood meaning. Najm, meaning star, a star in the sky, that which rises in the sky, that which is a star. And the plural being Nujum. So he first said, it is said what is meant by the Nujum is the stars of the sky. وكانوا, and again there's a printing error here, وكانوا في الجاهلية. There's a zaa correcting it somehow here. وكانوا. It's hard to keep up with some of these printing errors. There's so many of them sometimes. وكانوا في الجاهلية يعتقدون. Again, there's a printing error there. It should be, there's a qaf missed out of the يعتقدون. It added a zaa, taking off a qaf. So he said, in the times of jahiliyyah, in the times of ignorance, they used to hold as belief with regard to the stars that they cause the rain to fall. People of ignorance in the times of ignorance used to believe about the stars that they cause the rain to fall, or that they have an effect upon the coming down of the rain. Either they directly cause it, the stars cause it, or they have an effect upon it coming down. Because from the beliefs of the times of ignorance was al-istisqa'u bin-nujum, was to seek rain through the stars, and to ascribe rain to the rising of a star or its setting. Sheikh Fawzan is indicating what he used to believe. When it rained at a certain season, they'd say, this is the rain of such and such star which sets at this time, or such and such star that rises at this time. It's the rain coming about through that. Sheikh Fawzan said, so Allah the Majestic and Most High swore an oath by the places of setting of the stars. Since these stars have no control at all, they are just objects created by Him, He the Perfect and Most High. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. Same ayah, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, ayah 76, with the explanation, and it is a great oath if you but knew. In Allah the Most High swore by the places of setting of the stars, and it is indeed a great oath if you but knew. So that's the first saying in explanation of what is meant there by Mawaqi' al-Nujum, that is, are being sworn by. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the second meaning, he said, or the second explanation, he said, and it is said, what is meant by Mawaqi' al-Nujum is the Nujum of the Qur'an, the sending of the Qur'an, because the Qur'an came down bit by bit, munajjaman, came down part by part, bit by bit, to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in accordance with things which occurred and events from when He sent him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Allah caused him to die. In the Quran, Allah the Most High sent the Quran down in parts right from when He sent him as a messenger right until his death. He sent it down bit by bit. So the second saying is that is what is meant by Mawaqi' al-Nujum, that Allah the Most High swears by. He's referring to the sending down, places of the sending down of the Qur'an, or the sending down of the Qur'an. He said, and the Qur'an came down upon him in parts, in accordance with occurrences and events, over a period of 23 years. This was the time of the descent of the Qur'an. Whenever something was needed, as we know, whenever something happened, then some Qur'an would come down relevant to that. So the Shaykh says, so this was the time of the descent of the Qur'an. وَمِنْهُ الْمَكِّ وَمِنْهُ الْمَدَنِي. And from it, there were some parts sent down in the Meccan period, and some parts sent down in the Medinan period. And again, as a side point here, with regard to the some surahs of the Quran being described as surahs sent down in the Meccan period, those which are Makki and those which are Madani, those sent down in Medina, then as a side point, As-Suyuti mentions in his book about the Quran, Al-Itqan, that what is meant by those surahs and those ayahs which are Makki, and what is meant by those ones which are Madani, the scholars have three different sayings in that regard. And he mentions that the most famous saying, because it's not widely known, he mentions the most famous saying is that the Makki, those surahs and ayahs of the Qur'an which are described as Makki, are those which came down before the Hijrah. And those which are Madani and Medina are whatever came down after it. Even if they came down actually in Mecca or in Medina, whether in the year of the conquest or the year of the farewell pilgrimage or on any of the journeys. That's the most famous saying that he quotes. Meaning Meccan surahs means a surah which was revealed in the Meccan period before the Hijrah. No matter where they actually came down, no matter what the place was that they actually came down. And that Medinan surahs are surahs which came down after the Hijrah, after the arrival in Medina, whether they actually came down in Medina or in Mecca whilst on the farewell pilgrimage or somewhere else on a journey, that they're described as Medinan surahs. That being the most famous of the three sayings which he quotes. And back to the text, just a side point there. Back to the text, so Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and from it, meaning from the Qur'an, are those sent down in the Meccan period and those sent down in the Medinan period. And he quotes an ayah, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 32. With the explanation, and those who disbelieved said, why was this Qur'an not sent down to him all at once? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this was one of their foolish objections. One of their foolish objections they raised to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why did the Qur'an come down all at once to him? He said, it is not important whether the Qur'an came down all at once or separately. Rather, what is important is that you follow the Qur'an. This was one of their foolish objections. Then he mentioned the ayah which comes after it in refutation of what they said. كَذَلِكَ لِنُخَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا Surah Al-Qur'an, 25th surah, same surah, ayahs 32 and 33. And in this Egyptian print, there's a lam and an alif crept in after tartila, which should not be there. The two ayahs with the explanation, thus we sent it down to you in order to strengthen your heart with it. And we sent it down to you gradually. And they do not bring any example to you to rebut you, except that we bring the truth to you to refute it and explain it in the best manner. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, this is the wisdom in the sending down of the Qur'an to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam munajjaman in successive parts in what's mentioned in this ayah. Because this was easier for the nation. This was easier for the Ummah. So if all of the duties and commands and prohibitions had come down all at once, that would have been difficult for the Ummah. the Quran will come down all at once, with every single command in it, and every prohibition, and every duty, suddenly coming down all at once, all of it. The Shaykh said, that would indeed have been difficult for the Ummah. So Allah, the Majestic and Most High, sent down this legislation little by little, because that was gentler upon the Ummah, upon the nation. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ. Then he quotes the next two ayahs of the main text with the explanation, it is certainly an honorable Qur'an in a well-guarded book. Shaykh Fawzan said, and that is the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz, in the well-guarded book in which the Qur'an is contained, said that well-guarded book, meaning it is the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz. لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. The next ayah, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, 56th Surah, ayah 79, with the explanation, it is not touched except by the purified ones. Shaykh Fawzan said, and they are the honorable angels, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. That well-guarded book is not touched except by the purified ones. Shaykh Fawzan said, they are the honorable angels, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Tanzeelun min rabbil alameen. The next ayah, ayah 80. It is revelation sent down from the Lord of the whole of creation. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, this Qur'an is revelation from Allah. Revelation sent down from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Not from the preserved tablet. Even though it's contained in the preserved tablet, but it was not sent down from the preserved tablet. Rather, like in this ayah, تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. His revelation is sent down from Allah, the Lord of the whole of creation. What was answered? Not from the preserved tablet. And not from Jibreel, and not from Muhammad. Rather, it was sent down from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continued, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى كَافْهَا يَا عَيْنْ صَاد. الآية من سورة مريم. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى حَامِيم عَيْنْ سِين قَاف. الآيتين من سورة الشورى. وَافْتَتَحَ 29 سورة من حروف المقطعة. He said, and Allah the Most High said, Kaf ha ya ayn sad. Surah Maryam, the 19th surah, ayah 1. And He the Most High said, Ha mim ayn sin qaf. Surah Shura, 42nd surah, ayahs 1 and 2. And the Imam said, and he began 29 surahs with the unconnected letters, al-huruf al-muqatta'ah. And he, Allah the Most High, he began 29 surahs with al-huruf al-muqatta'ah, with the unconnected letters. These letters like what just occurred here in the text. Ha, Meen, Ayn, Seen, Qaf. Allah commenced 29 surahs with the like of these letters. Shaykh Fawzan said in explanation, the Qur'an came containing حروف المقطعه, containing unconnected letters at the beginnings of the surahs. For example, Alif Lam Mim, and for example, Alif Lam Ra, and for example, Alif Lam Mim Saad. Alif Lam Mim Ra. And for example, Taha, Yasin, Saad, Qaf, Noon, Hameen, Ain, Seen, Qaf. Sometimes these letters which Allah began the surahs with come as a single letter. And sometimes, I mean, as I put the examples here, Saad, or Qaf, or Noon. And he said, and sometimes they come as two letters. Obviously, Hameen and the like. And sometimes as three letters and more. And they are from the Qur'an without any doubt. They are Qur'an from the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So the speech of Allah is composed of letters and of words and of ayahs. Because it is in the Arabic tongue and in the Arabic language. And the Arabic language is composed of that, of letters and words. And yet despite this, the people of eloquence were unable to bring the like of it. Even though these letters, or even though it was composed of these letters, which they speak with, and which they talk to each other with. And even though they were the people of clear speech and eloquence and clarity, yet despite this, they were unable to bring a single surah like the Qur'an. Even though they were deliverers of speeches, one of them could give a speech and speak plentifully and speak at length when giving a speech. So since they were unable to bring a short surah like the Qur'an, then this is a proof that the Qur'an is not from the speech of humans, nor is it from the speech of the angels, nor from the speech of the creation. Rather, it is from the speech of the Creator, He the Perfect and Most High. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan goes on to bring a discussion about al-Huruf al-Muqatta'a, these unconnected letters, these letters that occur at the start of some of the surahs, either singly or in twos or threes, or as the Shaykh said, he said, and al-Huruf al-Muqatta'a, the unconnected letters. Some of the scholars say Allah knows best what is meant by them, and they do not speak about them. That's the first saying of some of the scholars. They say, what is meant by them, Allah knows best. If we don't know, Allah knows best. So they don't then speak about them at all after that. He said, and some of them say that these unconnected letters at the beginning of the surahs are to point out the i'jaz, are to point out it's being a miracle. They are there to point out the i'jaz of the Qur'an, point out the fact that the Qur'an is a miracle. Meaning that the Qur'an is composed of the like of these letters, and you are still unable to bring the shortest surah from the surahs of the Qur'an. Meaning that the scholars who say this, they say what it means is letters are indication to those people. Look, but these letters that occur here, Qaf, and Noon, and Saad, and Hameen, and Alif Lam Mim, these are letters which your language is composed of. And if what you say is true, this is the speech of a human, why don't you use these letters and compose even the shortest surah, the like of the Qur'an? So, the Shaykh is saying, some of the scholars say these letters are there as an indication of its being a miracle, meaning that the Qur'an is composed of the like of these letters, and that you people are unable to bring the shortest surah from the surahs of the Qur'an. And they said, you know, scholars said, and therefore, in most of the cases, the unconnected letters are followed by a mention of the Qur'an. I mean, this is evidence that those scholars who hold the second say, and evidence they bring. They say most of the times when these letters occur, these unconnected letters occur at the start of the surah, right away afterwards, there will usually be a mention of the Qur'an, or of the book. That's an indication that these letters are there, an indication of the miraculous nature of the book, which is then straight away mentioned. Sheikh Fawzan said, for example, he gives a few examples of this, generally, after they're mentioned, straight away mentioned the Qur'an. He said, for example, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayahs 1 and 2. With the explanation, Alif Lam Mim, this is the book about which there is no doubt. It is guidance for those who are dutiful to Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he indicated the Honorable Qur'an and that there is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the people of Taqwa, for those who are fearful of and dutiful to Allah. And straight away after mention of Alif Lam Mim comes a mention of the book, straight after. He said, and for example, Saad wal Qur'an bil dhikr. Surah Saad, 38 Surah, Ayah 1. With the explanation, Saad, by the Qur'an containing reminders. It gives another example. Qaf wal Qur'an al Majid. Surah Qaf, 50th Surah, Ayah 1. With the explanation, Qaf, by the glorious Qur'an. There he goes, another example. Hameem, Ayn, Seen, Qaf, كَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى النَّبِيَّ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, the first three ayahs. The explanation, Hameem, Ayn, Seen, Qaf, likewise we reveal to you and to those who came before you, Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. He quotes another example. Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatuhu Thumma Fussilat Min Ladun Hakimin Khabir. Surah Hud, the 11th Surah, the first ayah with the explanation. Alif Lam Ra, this is a book whose ayahs are perfected and then explained in detail from one all-wise, fully aware. And the last example he quotes, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab al-Mubin, Inna Anzalnahu Qur'an al-Arabiyya. Surah Yusuf, 12th Surah, Ayahs 1 and 2. With the explanation, Alif Lam Ra, these are the ayahs of the clear book. We sent it down as an Arabic Qur'an. So in other words, in all of these ayahs, straight away after these unconnected letters are mentioned, the Qur'an is mentioned straight away. He said, and so on. So usually, there occurs a mention of the book and a mention of the Qur'an after these unconnected letters are brought, as an indication of its ijaz, of its miraculousness. This is the second opinion, and this was the preferred opinion of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, and a group of the people of knowledge. And again, in this edition here, there's, after this last ayah, mentioned to إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَغَالِبًا مَا يَأْتِي ذِكْرُ الْكِتَابِ. Wadhikru al-Kitab is just a repetition here, there's a word repeated here, which is crossed out. Wadhikru al-Kitab, the second part, just be crossed out. And the Imam Ibn Qudamah continues with what will take as the last part of the text today, inshaAllah. He said, وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ فَأَعْرَضَهُ فَلَهُ بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ مِّنْهُ عَشْرُ حَسَنَاتٍ وَمَنْ قَرَأَهُ وَلَحَنَ فِيهِ فَلَهُ بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ حَسَنَةٍ حديث صحيح. He said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites the Qur'an and recites it correctly, then for every letter of it, he shall have 10 rewards. And whoever recites it and makes mistakes in it, then for every letter of it, he shall have 1 reward. An authentic hadith. And just briefly, before continuing, I mentioned something in the footnote with regard to this hadith, that in addition to that as well, and the verifier, or one of the verifiers of one edition of the book, Sheikh Badr al-Badr, Hafidhullah, and he said about this narration, about this hadith, he said, I say, it was reported by Tabarani in his book Al-Awsat, the Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat. As is well known, Tabarani has 3 mu'jams of hadith, the big one, Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, and the small one, Al-Mu'jam Al-Saghir, and this middle one that's been referred to here, Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, the middle-sized one. So he said, Al-Tabarani reports it in Al-Awsat, as occurs in Majma'ul Bahrain, a book which gathers the narrations of his small and his medium mu'jams. He reported it from Ibn Mas'ud, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the wording, recite the Qur'an correctly. Because whoever recites the Qur'an and recites it correctly, then for him there are 10 rewards, and a wiping away of 10 sins, and a raising of 10 ranks. Then he said, and Al-Haythami brought it in his book Majma'u al-Zawa'id, a book where Al-Haythami gathers books which are outside the 6 books. The books, the narrations of Tabarani and Ahmad and Abu Ya'la, a number of books, he gathers them together in that book. He said, Al-Haythami brings it in Majma'u al-Zawa'id, quotes it to him, he attributes it to Al-Tabarani, and then he said, it contains the narrator Nahshal, and he was abandoned. In other words, this is a weak narration. It contains the narrator Nahshal, and he was matruk, abandoned. And then Al-Haythami mentioned some other hadith which mentions precise recitation of the Qur'an, i'rab of the Qur'an. And all of them are weak, with a weakness that will not allow them to strengthen each other. These narrations are weak, not authentic. And there occurs with regard to the virtue of reciting the Qur'an, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ قَرَأَ حَرْفًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنًا وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِأَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا وَلَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ حَرْفْ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفْ وَلَامٌ حَرْفْ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفْ. So he brings something authentic, he said, and there occurs with regard to the virtue of reciting the Qur'an, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites a letter from the Book of Allah, then there will be for him one good deed. And one good deed will receive 10 times its like in reward. I do not say, and I do not say, that Alif Lam Mim is a letter, but rather Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, and Mim is one letter. Reported by Tirmidhi, and its chain of narration is Hassan, is good. Back to the main explanation, then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, as on this hadith, that whoever recites the Qur'an and recites it correctly, then for every letter of it, he shall have 10 rewards. And whoever recites it and makes mistakes in it, then for every letter of it, he shall have 1 reward. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ فَأَعْرَضَهُ. Whoever recites the Qur'an and recites it, and أَعْرَضَهُ, recites it precisely correctly. He said, أَعْرَضَهُ means, he reads it correctly, in the Arabic manner, without any lahan, without any grammatical mistakes, then This person is correct and precise with regard to the Qur'an. And this is a clear proof. A person who recites it like this, recites the Qur'an correctly, making no grammatical mistakes. This is a proof of the care and attention which he gives to it. Then for him, there will be 10 rewards for each letter. Since a good deed produces 10 times its like. So this contains a proof for the virtue of making recitation of the Qur'an precise and correct, and keeping it free from grammatical mistakes. And as for the one who recites it and doesn't recite it correctly, such that he does not recite Arabic well and correctly, and he may recite that which is mansoob as being marfoob, meaning, or we can summarize it as, he may recite that which should have a fatha with a dhamma instead of a fatha, or he may recite that which is mafroob as being mansoob, which you can summarize as being, he may recite that which should have a kasra with a fatha in. So meaning he makes mistakes over the vowels which he reads with it. The Shaykh said, then this person receives a reward, he receives one reward in accordance with his ability and effort, and his mistake is forgiven, because this is the limit which his effort and ability can reach. And there occurs in another hadith, and then Shaykh Fawzan quotes an authentic hadith in this regard. Al-Mahiru bil-Qur'ani ma'a safarat al-kiram al-barara والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. The saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the person who proficiently and correctly recites the Qur'an will be with the honorable scribes from the angels, and the person who recites the Qur'an and stumbles with regard to it and it is difficult for him, then he will receive 2 rewards. This hadith that came before, being reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and by Muslim, and the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Shaykh Fawzan then said, so this shows that what is required is that the Muslims the Muslim recites the Quran in accordance with his ability. And if he is able to learn and able to correct the recitation, then that is obligatory upon him to do so. And he should not remain ignorant with regard to recitation. And if he is not able to correct it, then he should still recite in accordance with his ability. Allah does not burden a soul except with what it can carry out. And the person should not abandon recitation of the Qur'an and reading the Qur'an. Rather, he should try in accordance with his ability. This is from one aspect. And the aspect for which the author brought the hadith is that the reciter of the Qur'an has nothing with him but the recitation and the reading. As for al-maqru', or as for al-muqra', amma al-muqra', as for what is recited, then that is the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And the recitation, the qira'ah, is an action of the reciter. And therefore, he may recite with a beautiful voice or with a voice that is not beautiful. So the variation of recitation upon the tongues of the people, the way that different people recite differently. Different sounds, you hear this one recite, you hear that person recite, you hear one recite, you hear differently, it sounds different. So So he said, so the variation of recitation upon the tongues of the people is a proof that the recitation of the Qur'an is an action of the people. But as for what is read and what is recited, then it is the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. In all of them, this one, his recitation differs to his recitation, differs to his, sounds different to his. But what is this one reciting? What is that one reciting? What is that they're all reciting? That which they're reciting is one and the same. It is the speech of Allah, the Most High. As the Shaykh said, what is recited is the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And therefore they said, the scholars before, they said, made a statement, As-sawtu, sawtul qari, wal-kalamu, kalamu dhari. The voice is the voice of the reciter, but the speech is the speech of the Creator. As-sawtu, sawtul qari, wal-kalamu, kalamu dhari. The voice is the voice of the reciter, and the speech is the speech of the Creator. So the recitation is an action of the person, but what is recited is the Qur'an, the speech of Allah, the Perfect. From the people, there are some who do it, who recite it beautifully and precisely, and from them, there are those who do less than that. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Again, of course, Sheikh Fawzan refuting, and the Imam before him, he is refuting, the innovators who innovate with regard to the Qur'an and try and bring this matter into it to try and put forward their saying. What about when the person recites? Do you still say it's not created? So it makes the difference here. When the person recites the Qur'an, his own voice, his own recitation, that's from his action. But as for what he's reciting, that is the speech of Allah, not created. Just a piece of homework for those who want some homework, an easy piece of homework, inshallah. Then last week, amongst what Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned, that the Imam in the text of what we had last week, the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he brought, وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. The ayah from Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th Surah, ayah 25. He said, one of them said about the Qur'an, this is nothing but the speech of a man. So Allah the Perfect responded, سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ. I shall enter him into the scorching fire. Then we had that Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned, this was the person who said this was Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira al-Makhzumi. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira al-Makhzumi, one of the heads of the people in the Quraysh in Mecca. Ibn Kathir mentions, as a side point, Ibn Kathir mentions in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah that he died as a mushrik in Mecca in the first year of the Hijrah. In the first year of the Hijrah, he was in Makkah, he remained a mushrik in Makkah, and he died as a mushrik. But he had a famous, as a side point, here's the homework, for those who want some homework, he had a famous son. Who was a famous son? Who can come up with this? Exclude anybody I told already. Only open to those who have not been told. No, who was his son? A famous son. Al-Walid. Okay, any points of clarification? That's not a problem, isn't it? Where's the clarification, inshallah? And again, as a side point, I'm not putting clarification. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir obviously he wrote a seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first part of it, Shaykh al-Albani, or Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he began to check that seerah. And he produced an authentic checking of Ibn Kathir's seerah. But the Shaykh rahimahullah, he passed away before completion, so only the first part is checked by the Shaykh. In the part that he checked, he brings, or Ibn Kathir brings the report, Shaykh al-Albani authenticates it. So I'll just mention it. With regard to this individual, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, then Ibn Kathir mentioned here, Ishaq ibn Rahaway reported with his chain of narration from Ibn Abbas that Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, the same person, he came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he recited the Qur'an to him. And it is as if he inclined towards it. Raqqalahu, it became tender for him. He inclined towards it, had some feeling for it. So this news reached Abu Jahl. So he came to him. Abu Jahl heard what had happened, that Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, and they mentioned about him that he was an old man. By this time he was a very old man. He had a lot of wealth and he was well known for giving in charity. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard the Qur'an and it had an effect upon him. So Abu Jahl heard about this, so he went to see him when he heard that. So he said, "O uncle, your people want to gather some money for you." He said, "Why?" He said, "To give it to you, so that you can go to Muhammad and see if he'll accept it from you. You try and buy him off, bribe him off. I want to send you to go to him and try and pay him off with some money." He said, "Quraysh know that I am one of them who has the most wealth." He said, "Okay, then say about him something which can reach your people to show that you're criticizing him." Meaning, there's a saying going around, you've heard him and you're in favor of him. So say something that they can say, no, he's against him. So he said, "What shall I say?" This individual, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he said, "What shall I say? For by Allah, there is not a man who knows better than me about poetry. And I don't know anything about his form of poetry." And he goes through some different forms of poetry. It's not this, it's not that. I know all about poetry. What he's recited is not poetry. It's not even the poetry of jinn. And his saying has sweetness. And he starts to praise it. It has sweetness, it has freshness. It produces fruit. And he gives a long saying. It raises up and has nothing raised over it. It crushes down anything beneath it. So Abu Jahl said, "Your people will not be pleased with you until you say something about him or something about it." So therefore he said, "Then let me think." So he thought and he thought, and then he said, "It's just sorcery, it's just magic." He had to think, he knows it's not magic. He had to think and he said, "It's just magic, which produces an effect. It produces an effect upon others." So then the ayahs came down from Surah Al-Muddathir, ayahs 11 to 13. ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. These ayahs from Surah Al-Muddathir. Of course last week we had other ayahs from the same surah. They came down with regard to him, the ayahs. He said it's also reported by Al-Bayhaqi, from Al-Hakim, from Ishaq. Shaykh al-Bani said in his checking, Al-Hakim reported it in his Mustadrak and said it is authentic to the standard of Al-Bukhari, and Al-Dhahabi agreed, and it is just as they say. It is authentic to the standard of Al-Bukhari's report. That's just a side point there. Some further details of what Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned last week. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.